Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's not about me being back, so nothing should change as far as how we trying to beat teams. You know, it's not going to be some crazy air attack, and, you know, I'm going to have 15 targets every game. If that happens, you know, I'll do what I can with it. But other than that, you know, we'll let everybody else do what they got to do to, you know, get that victory.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 12 the DAM.
You got it there.
In the free radio.com app.
So you got it from your coach.
Yep.
And then you got it when you got home.
Oh, you want me to call your mom, get suspended for 3 days, or call your coach? Just don't call my coach. No, don't call him.
And you know they already called him.
Yeah, right.
That was the worst part.
He already know.
That was the worst part. He already know.
Yep.
Already knew. 4147.
Yeah, he already know you did.
You know what I coach you do? You know what I coach you do?
The principal
called him because, you know, he's way on the other wing over there. And he got him on. We had speakerphone, but he got him on speakerphone, and you know, because they got like six buttons. You gotta get, you know, the one button you light up,
Leroy, the square one, light up.
The square buttons. You know, they had them all on there, and you can hear. And he goes, "Send him down here."
Oh
no,
that's a long walk to your coach's office, because, and you know, you gotta go because you know you're going to practice, so you're gonna see him
at some point. That's the worst.
Yeah, don't call my mom and do not call my coach.
I'm telling you, man, that was the worst part. My mom worked at the school, so I couldn't even get away with
your
any
mom
of it.
Mom worked at the school?
Worked right there at the school, right in the office. Hey, secretary.
My mom one year took me to her school. Well, I was enrolled at the school that she was teaching at. By halfway through, she enrolled me to another school.
Why? Are you being bad?
She said, "Boy, you're going to get me fired." Right? She said, "Boy, you're going to get me fired." Because she put me in another school. You're going to get me fired at my job. Right here on my job. I got mouth to feed. You up here acting like a fool.
Yep. When you act up, that's where you get it.
I think this is why Ryan Wood likes us all so much.
She couldn't do that, though, Dad. Where Woody at?
Woody's here.
Woody.
He's a straight-A student, though.
Ryan Wood on the Grape and Buzz Ready Hotline.
Straight-A student.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry,
Woody was a straight-A
Woody,
student.
Woody, what high school you went to?
Oak Hill High School in Converse, Indiana.
Nice.
Oh.
Were you what kind of kid was Ryan Wood back in the day in Indiana?
Oh, we don't got to talk about that.
Let me go to Wikipedia.
We we do.
Let me go to Wikipedia.
The radio, it's live air. It's radio.
Well, how many people was at the high school? What do you remember?
What's your graduating class?
Yeah,
it was like 120. It's a real small school.
So it's a small school.
It ain't too bad.
Out in the middle of the country.
So everybody knew everybody.
Very much so. Yeah. It was three really small towns: Converse, Sweetser, and Swayze. And I was Swayze.
Where was Terre Haute compared to Sweetser and Swayze and Converse?
That's south. That's a couple hours south and west.
So, were you north then?
North central. I was basically an hour due north of Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
Out in the middle of nowhere. Just out in the middle of nowhere. A lot of fields.
So, look, cow tipping or?
Oh yeah. Barn parties. Yeah, absolutely. All kinds of that stuff.
And you just went. You just were a patron. You didn't host any of the barn parties.
No, of course not. Yeah, I just knew about them, and I applauded everyone's effort.
What a good guy.
Where's his prom picture?
Upstanding individual. We do need some prom pictures from Ryan.
Yeah, we do need some prom pictures.
No. Come on, Ryan. Don't hold out on us.
What year you graduate, Woody?
I don't even know if I have prom pictures, to be honest with you.
What year was that, Woody?
I graduated in 06.
Okay.
Yes.
He got prom pictures.
Oh, he's got prom pictures.
We'll find him.
We'll find him for him. We'll find him.
Did you have long hair?
They're not on Facebook. I know that.
He scrubbed his Facebook.
He tried what? He tried to send us on a down.
What'd he say?
He said they're not on my Facebook. I know that.
We got interns to find out.
That's a smart man. Ryan Woods scrubbed his stuff.
Any sports in high school, Woody, or no?
Do what with high school?
Any sports in high school?
Yeah. No, I played basically everything.
Oh, yeah?
Football, basketball.
Give me some averages. Yeah.
Come on, let's get some stats here.
Yeah, get some stats. What's your stats?
Oh, gosh, no.
I'm finna Google this.
I can't even remember.
What position you play in football, Woody?
I was a safety, believe it or not.
Nice. Oh, now I knew I liked this guy.
Yes. I was nothing like, hey. I didn't play safety compared to Marola.
No, but you play safety. That means you my brother. You play safety. It don't matter how good it was.
Yeah.
Very
I
nice.
I like the safety. And then tight end on the other side.
Oh, both ways.
Nice. Okay.
Must have been fun to play that real football where you could actually see the ball during, like, every play. That must have been so much fun to actually play. Ryan,
I was a much bigger fan of playing safety than tight end. I didn't stunned. Like getting hit. I'd rather hit.
Yeah,
I'm stunned. Even the guys that hit every play wish that they would have played safety over anything, absolutely
Mike
anything
Clemens played
else.
Football, too, in high school.
Mike Clemens was a wide receiver, running back, up back.
In Georgia.
Everything.
Yeah,
a little bit of everything. Well, real team guy.
No, I was big growth spurt when I was 13, 14, so I played guard and strong safety. Then I played quarterback the last couple of years.
What high school was that?
Beloit Memorial High.
Yeah. There it is.
Little place kicker, straight, could never kick soccer style.
Yeah.
So you were the Paul Horning of Beloit Memorial. You play quarterback, run the ball in, kick the field goal.
And I never got above 5'10". That's the problem. When you're 13, you're 5'10", you can kick ass.
He's 5'6".
When you're 17 or 18, you're a tackling dummy.
Mike, did you tell a story about down in Georgia with Eddie Lee Ivory? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was fun. Freshman year, and I'm in great shape, and I'm playing on all kinds of things, and then I'm a gunner on punt, right? And this kid takes the ball, and they had two kids back. They used to sometimes put two people back.
Sure.
Yeah, I remember that. One's the lead blocker, yeah.
This is, you know, leather helmet days. Anyway, no, Rydell helmet. Rydell helmet. So this dude, you get this a couple times on punt if you're the first guy down there. This dude takes the ball, looks up, and then he starts turning up the sideline. I'm like, oh, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. He's either stepping out of bounds or I'm going to kill him. And just as about to take him, I see this blur. I forgot about the other dude. Cut me off at the ankles. I go flying up, compound fracture of the left arm. This part of the arm, Billy, this part of the arm is pointing towards the goalpost. That part's pointing toward the sideline. The refs came over and looked down. I went, oh, you know, they just started waving over the truck.
Pulling a Lawrence Taylor, waving over the guy.
No. Yeah. So I had a cast on for 6 months.
Oh,
horrible.
Man.
From my hand. And so years later, these dudes got a picture from the All-Star team, and I'm covering Packers like 85 or so. And they said, do you know who's on that All-Star team? Eddie Lee Ivory. He was the only kid that was from that school. It was Eddie Bonneville, I think, was the name of the high school, something like that, from Georgia.
Thompson, Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike, did you wear the black with the square toe thing, you know?
The shoes? George
the shoes. Yeah, the kick it.
The
black ones.
Yeah.
With the square toe.
Right. Yeah. And then one time, this other kid we had that was kicking, you know, he got hurt on the touchdown or something like that. So the coach set me in to kick off, you know?
Yeah.
And where's the kicking shoe? Where's the
kicking shoe? Yeah.
Just go ahead and do it. Well, I had those white shoes on back then.
Yeah.
So with a round tip.
Yeah.
The ball.
Mikey white shoes.
Yeah. And the high tee. I need the low tee. I don't want the high tee. I was like, I'm going to kick this thing in the end zone. Right. Instead, the ball went about 30 yards up in the air and about 15 yards down the field.
Well, one thing you don't want, Mike, is the low T, so I'm glad you got the high T.
Yeah, no, we got the high T.
Yeah.
He's high T over here.
It's always great to have these memories. You go back to class reunions and people say, I remember that time you kicked the ball off and only went like 15 yards, you know?
But high, though.
It was high.
Yeah. It was high, though.
Yeah, and I had like 12 seconds hang time.
No, don't worry, everybody else.
We probably should get to Woody, huh?
Yeah, well, we'll ask Woody.
Oh, sure.
He's here. Yeah, Ryan Woods here as well. Everybody's here. It's a Packer Football Friday, getting ready for Packers and Panthers. Ryan Woods joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Mike Clemens is in studio. Woody, at this point in time, we had Nick Wilson on from Sports Radio WFNZ down in Charlotte, and we were asking him, just how do you slow down Christian McCaffrey? It doesn't really feel like there is a way to stop Christian McCaffrey and just try to limit the amount of explosive plays. He has 3 50-yard touchdown runs. No other back in football has more than one.
Well, I'd start with prayer, you know. It can't help to have God on your side.
This guy.
And then from there, you know, maybe the cold helps, you know, so a little bit of Mother Nature. Schematically, we know that they're not putting linebackers on him. I would think that you'll see a lot of Darnell Savage Jr. on Christian McCaffrey because I asked this to Mike Pettine yesterday, and he said point blank, I mean, if you do put a linebacker on him, you better give a ton of help to him. So I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of linebackers, going to be a lot of DB, probably safety on Christian McCaffrey. But the bottom line, I don't think this defense is going to take Christian McCaffrey out of the game. I mean, nothing that we've seen in the first 9 games has suggested, indicated in any way that they're capable of doing that. It's just a matter of trying to limit the explosive plays, which has been a huge issue. And somehow, divine intervention, something, getting a bit of fortune, maybe getting some good breaks, generating some big plays, which has kind of gone a little more silent. I mean, this defense was feasting off big plays early in the season, and now it's not so much. So I think getting your plays in too, more than taking away Christian McCaffrey's big plays, because that's just not going to happen.
Well, Ryan, you also asked a great question to Mike Pettine last night about Blake Martinez, because Packer fans are going to be comparing these defenses, and they're going to see Green Bay's number 50 out there, maybe running all the field and getting these tackles, but they're going to see the Panthers' middle linebacker and his anticipation and Luke Kuechly, and those comparisons would be made. And I thought that was interesting that you said to Pettine, you know, Blake, hard worker all over the field, but where's the highlight reel? You know, where's?
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is part of what I asked Mike Pettine was how much is tackles a qualitative stat to indicate how well Blake Martinez is playing, because he's got 95 this season. I mean, we know that he
leads the league.
Yeah, he leads the league by 6. No one else is within 6 of them. And we know that he was top 3 the past 2 years. And let's put it this way. So he's got 95 tackles, which is on pace. If he plays 16 games, he's on pace to get 168. He's got a shot at 170. In this decade, only 2 other defenders in the NFL have had 170 tackles in a single season. It was Vontaze Burfict in 2013, Gerard Mayo in 2010. That Blake Martinez could be the third. And Mike Pettine is kind of like, not so much. Because in this defense, the way they play, Blake Martinez is not responsible for a gap. There is no gap responsibility. His job is to read where the ball is and go get the ball. And the guys up front, their job is to consume double teams to keep blockers off Blake Martinez. So tackles is basically, I talked to Blake Martinez about it this week, it's what he's supposed to do. I mean, if he doesn't have a lot of tackles, he's not doing his job. The other part is Mike Pettine was very quick to say he doesn't want Blake Martinez chasing big plays. Blake Martinez called himself the cleanup guy in this defense. I mean, that's kind of what he does. He's there to clean it up. He's there to be in the wash and be in the action, be at the ball. But he doesn't want Blake Martinez chasing the big plays. So it's kind of what he's asked to do. And Blake Martinez said, you know, there's times when he would like to get the TFLs. He only has 3 TFLs out of 95 tackles. But what he's asked to do in this defense, he does it pretty well. And reality is he's probably going to be rewarded pretty handsomely for it after the season.
Yeah, he's going to get paid, no doubt about it. I guess I would ask you, too, Kevin King, what's his availability for this weekend?
I think he's good. I think Jair Alexander was added late to the injury report, and off the top of my head, I can't remember what the injury was.
Groin.
Yeah, it strikes me that they might monitor him. He's probably going to play. I think he's just questionable, right? So he's probably going to be okay. But you know, Kevin King was on a snap count last week, and he's had the groin that he's had to play with, and I don't know that, you know, he practiced today and he's practiced this week just like he has the past couple weeks, and I don't think anything's going to really change as far as being careful with him, but he's good to go. And you know, the bigger issue I think is Jaire Alexander now having this groin that he's on the injury report for.
Talking with Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, our Green and Gold insider here on The Fan. You look at the back half of the secondary as well here, Ryan, and how they're going to try to slow down DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, but Greg Olsen's got to be the more important key for the Packers trying to slow down, because you, like you said earlier, there's only so much you're going to be able to do against Christian McCaffrey, but tight ends have killed this defense.
Yeah, I mean, what has killed this defense this season? What has killed this defense? Running backs and tight ends.
Yep.
What do the Carolina Panthers have? Christian McCaffrey and Greg Olsen. I mean, let's call it what it is. This is a really bad matchup for the Packers defense. It just is. And who knows? I mean, in this league, every week can almost be an island unto itself. And so you never know what's going to happen or what to expect. But if the first nine games of this season are any indication, this is a bad matchup for the Packers defense. So we'll see how they do. You know, they've given up a lot of plays this year to tight ends, and they've given up a lot of plays to running backs, and that's really the strength of the Panthers' offense.
It's almost like a mirror, because Carolina defense is terrible against the run, but they're number one in sacks, so they would love for the Packers to drop back and throw it a bunch of times, not run Aaron Jones. So I think it'll be the matchup of the two best running backs. But my question is, you know, this defense, again, I'm looking for Oren Burks. At some point, they got to either say that the guy either don't know the defense, or we're not using him in a package, or he doesn't fit. Because you can't just play special teams when you're a high draft pick and the defense obviously had deficiencies in the middle.
You know, Oren Burks was drafted to fill a role, and he hasn't been able to fill that role. And you're right. I mean, a third-round pick playing special teams is not what you're drafted at that high to do. And we all look, Blake Martinez is good at what he does, right? And there's some limitations in this game, too. I mean, the difference between Blake Martinez and Luke Kuechly, the biggest difference, I mean, everyone praises Luke Kuechly's recognition, his instincts, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Luke Kuechly can cover.
Yeah.
He can play in coverage. He's got two picks this year, seven defended passes.
Yeah.
Blake Martinez has no interceptions the past 2 years, no defended passes this year. That's the difference. And it wouldn't be that big of a deal in this Packers defense if Oren Burks, who was drafted to be a coverage linebacker, was filling that role. But the reality is that he isn't. So that's, you know, I think you're absolutely right about Oren Burks. The development, you know, I think the shoulder, the pectoral injuries the past 2 years affected him in his development early on. That's tough for young guys to miss so much time early in their careers and to kind of have to feel like they're playing catch-up. We don't know where he is right now, but clearly they're not giving him a lot of snaps, and he was drafted for a reason, and that reason hasn't come to fruition. So I think you're absolutely right about that.
Hey, Woody, you know, it's week nine, and you're still talking guys on deep, veterans like Tremont Williams or your team captain, Za'Darius Smith, and saying, yeah, we were off on gap assignments. What's your take on that, and what do you think, what kind of a season is Dean Lowry having on the right side?
Yeah, so the gap integrity has been a season-long issue, and it's pretty unreal.
Well, they had that with Capers, too.
They still have that. You know, Dean Lowry, I think that he's been solid but not impactful, maybe. He's been inconsistent, and Mike Dutton has kind of alluded to that himself and said that, there's been times when Dean Lowry's played really well, and then there's been times when he's left plays on the field. And for him, he's got to even that out and find that consistency. But that it's much bigger than just Dean Lowry. I mean, the gap integrity, and it's almost kind of like a musical chairs of sorts, or a revolving door of sorts. Of on this play, it's this person. On this play, it's this person. I mean, they all take turns. You know, I mean, it's almost, you know. I've got three kids, and at one time or another, one of the three are probably doing something that they shouldn't be doing. The other two can be good, and they all take turns, right? It's that way with the Packers in gap integrity. At one time, your defensive front, your front six, your front seven, six of them might be doing well. It's the one guy who's out of his gap, and that's what happens. You have to have everyone on the same page, everyone doing their job at the same time. Then that has been a season-long issue.
Last one, let you get going here. We talked a little bit about Oren Burks defensively, and I guess another guy to me that would be a disappointment is really Josh Jackson as well.
Yeah, and
they can't find a spot for him.
Another great example of a guy missed a ton of time in camp with the foot, and at the time, it just seemed like for a second year guy to miss so much training camp that was really not ideal, and it hasn't been ideal. And Mike Pettine mentioned that specifically yesterday, and then also finding a spot. I was surprised they didn't try to move him to safety more in the offseason. I was kind of expecting that, and it just never really happened, and they kept him out of corner. And, Mike Pettine has said that, you know, they're trying to tap into his positional versatility a little bit, but then it's a fine line because it's a little bit of, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. And so they don't want to fall into that trap.
And you got an undrafted guy like Will Redmond out there, and Josh Jackson, your second round pick, inactive, healthy scratch.
I think that the raw speed is an issue, and has been an issue.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's fast enough to play outside corner. I don't know if he's got the raw speed. He's got the ball skills, and he's got the size and I would think the instincts to play the middle of the field and move more to a safety. So, but you're right. I mean, Will Redmond's played consistently ahead of him. For a second-round pick to be in his second year, I know he had the injury, but the Packers certainly would like to see more. There's no question about that.
And they've set a precedent for not being too patient with second-round picks as they let Josh Jones get out of here in the middle of training camp. Ryan, appreciate it, man. What do you got for this weekend, Packers and Panthers?
Well, first of all, not just Josh Jones, Jason Spriggs, too.
Right,
it's not
Spriggs as well.
Year for second-round picks. They've got to be doing cartwheels about Elton Jenkins right now. But, look, like I said, it's a bad matchup for the Packers' defense. There's no question about that. The other side of the ball, the Panthers' pass rush comes at you in waves. They might not have the marquee names that the Packers have seen this season, but it comes at you in waves and waves and waves. I think it's going to be a really close game. I'm just guessing that the Packers eke this one out primarily because of two reasons. One, they've eked out a lot of games this year. That's been their MO. They've won a lot of close games. Two, had last week not happened, this would be the proverbial trap game.
Right. Right?
I mean, it's a bad matchup. But I think last week was really a wake-up call to a team that was 7-1 at the time. But you know what? They're good. But they're not that good to where they got to show up. They got to put in the work. They got to show up, and it just seemed like a wake up call. So because of that, a big reason because of that, I think they do show up Sunday. It's still a bad matchup, but Aaron Rodgers at home, I think they eke one out, and they move to 8-2. But if the Panthers won this game, it would be zero surprise to me whatsoever.
Yeah, that's why I rolled with the Panthers and the points. I think that it's definitely within the 5.5 that Las Vegas is giving the Green Bay Packers to put over to the Panthers.
I would agree with that.
Big number. Ryan, we'll talk Monday. Break it all down with us on the big show, 4:35.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right.
I know we kept you longer than normal, but it's Friday, so thank you.
Absolutely. Have a good weekend.
And we didn't ask him about the New York Mets, so he's happy as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the longest we'd ever talked or not talked about the Packers without the New York Mets being
Hey, man,
I'm trying to spare you, Ryan. I'm trying to spare you.
Oh, thank God for that.
That's Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.